Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to another episode of Press X to Continue. Now, this is the podcast for all of your gaming chat, your news, your reviews, and more. It doesn't matter if you're a hardcore gamer who never puts their controller down, or if you're a more casual player maybe who dips in and out now and again, or maybe you don't play at all, right? Maybe you just live with someone who does, and you like watching them play. Well, whatever your poison, this is the podcast for you. Now, we've put another coin in the machine. We have respawned, and you can now get us on all the usual apps, right? So subscribe on Spotify, Apple, and anywhere else you can find podcasts. We will be there. I'm Stefan Powell, and I'm joined once again by actor, comedian, all-round good guy, Einel Tomlinson is here. Einel, with, for people who are watching this on socials, a big jazzy Press X sign behind you.
Hey, come on. New logo and that, got to show it off to the people.
Yeah, give the people what they want, which is exactly what Einel is doing on the socials.
Nice.
It does look nice. A lot of hard work gone into that.
But did you make it yourself,
Did I? I wish I did.
Did you
jump on
Photoshop?
Yeah, I wish. That was Owen. Our social guy's far more clever than me. I couldn't go anywhere near that.
Pick up Owen.
Yeah, I'm still on Paint. Remember Paint?
Yeah.
I'm not. That's a gag, but whatever. It looks good. Also, we're welcoming back to Full Fitness, the comedian and Press X original crew member, Glenn Moore. Glenn, you are with us. It is lovely to be back. You managed to dodge us last week by virtue of a lurgy.
Sorry for having to drop out with about 5 minutes' notice. I do apologise. I'm very, very, very happy to be here. Thank you for having me back.
And you know, the maddest thing was, we saw you. That's what made it work.
I was like, he's there.
You saw my face, but then Stefan did message me afterwards going, it was probably for the best. You looked grey.
You'd looked like you'd aged about 40 years.
Yeah.
You looked like you'd finally finished an Elden Ring boss, you know, after 25
Stefan,
hours.
I look like I drunk from the wrong grail, is
That's
what
you'd
like.
Done. Not that I'd know what it's like to beat an Elden Ring boss, because I've never managed to play the game because it's so long. But that is a conversation for another time. Now, Glenn, we are kicking off our episodes now with a new tradition, and this of unloading an unpopular gaming opinion out into the world. So would you please get us going this week by giving us your unpopular opinion, please?
I don't think status effects should exist.
Oh, wow.
I hate them so much. In a game, it's kind of fine in something like a Dark Souls or an Elden Ring where you're playing on the fly. I just mean in like turn-based combat, if you are playing something like an old school Final Fantasy and you get inflicted with like poison And all that happens is it just means you have to spend your go curing that poison with an antidote. And you want to say, like a teacher, it's your own time you're wasting. You've just made this battle. You haven't defeated me. You've just made the battle 10 minutes longer than it needed to be. Stop wasting my time. I'm happy with mutually assured destruction here. I'm happy if they eradicated status effects from games where I'm not allowed to apply a status effect to a boss. As far as I'm concerned, I'm like, I'm just a pure damage person. I do not care about giving a boss frostbite or lowering its evasion for 3 turns or something. I can't bring myself to care. Are you guys passionate about status effects?
Well, I'm not going to lie, Glenn. I don't know what I was expecting from you today, but it wasn't that, right?
I'll be honest. I don't know who they're for.
It's very niche. And we've got reacting to that. Our final guest on today's podcast.
The only thing I see is it because it varies up the gameplay. Because it stops people from spamming the same kind of tactics every single time. So if it forces you to have to change, to do something, if you're poisoned, forces you to have to contend with that, along with a new strategy.
I think correct with regards to real-time games, or if it's turn-based in that Baldur's Gate style where you can do a couple of things each turn. I mean in that sort of like Final Fantasy Persona 5 sort of thing where you're lined up in a row. And it just takes a bit of... Divinity Original Sin 2, the predecessor to Baldur's Gate 3, had this thing where like you'd be fighting against 20 people. They spend all their goes like freezing one of your players, turning one of your players into a chicken, then the other player's killed outright, the other one's turned into a zombie, and then they go, and now it's your turn, and you go, well, I can't f***ing do anything now, can I?
Well, it's before you tell him that, let's bring in our fourth panelist on the show. I want to get Shay's reaction to this. We've got another Press X OG member, Shay Thompson, with us, the journalist and presenter, reacting to that, let's be honest, Shay, niche unpopular opinion from Glenn Moore.
I can quite confidently say I've never seen anyone so passionate about status effects. I had never really given them a second thought, but until today.
But they're wasting your time. They're wasting your time.
Are they? I feel like, you know, they're part and parcel of, especially like JRPGs. What is Final Fantasy X without being randomly slept in the middle of a boss, you know?
Ha ha, you got to sleep.
But do you ever... The thing is, those spells that inflict stuff like sleep, you only ever save them for the big bosses. You don't bother with like the regular minions. And then on bosses, they never work. They always go, it has a chance to inflict paralysis. And then they go, oh, it's a boss, so it doesn't get, you can't do status effects on the boss. And you go, what is this for?
I tell you what, you need to play Unicorn Overlord. I think you really like it. And it's all to do with strategy, how you contend with various different units, how you utilize your weaknesses and your strengths against the enemy. And it utilizes stuff like poison and stuff like that in order to win.
Unicorn Overlord is a prime example, and that's a lot like sort of Fire Emblem sort of strategy-wise. Yeah. And I like that sort of thing. It's just annoying if you're playing a game. Yeah, it's annoying if you've got a game where you're like, only one person on my team can cure freeze and they're currently encased in a block of ice, so I can't actually give them a go anyway.
Well, look, whatever you think of Glenn's unpopular opinion, right?
You asked for it.
I absolutely did. And you know what? I'm glad you brought such passion to the podcast, and you're clearly into just a side of turn-based fighting games that I'd never really considered. And
yeah,
I like that.
You asked for an unpopular opinion, and I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm not too keen on Final Fantasy. Go big or go home.
Yeah, well, this is it. And we very much appreciate it. So let us know what you think of Glenn's unpopular opinion. You know what to do. Find us on social media. Press X Pod is TikTok, Instagram, and Blue Sky. Also, you can find us on a Discord server as well. The links are there to be found on our social media channels. So find our social media channels, get involved in the Discord. There's loads of people getting involved in the comments. It's popping off, isn't it, Aina?
It's popping off. There's a few opinions in there already as well.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And lots of people reacting as well to what's already been going on the podcast. So we've had some reactions to our previous unpopular opinion. So Frankie Ward was on for our first episode, and she was talking about, but she doesn't like Death Stranding. Is the long and short of it, okay?
Controversial. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. A travesty. Stumbling simulator. How dare she?
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
it was bold. And so we've had lots of people getting in touch about
she
this.
Knew what she was doing.
Demi says, I've got to agree with Frankie's unpopular opinion. I'm not a fan of... Oh, she also talks about the fact that she didn't like Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom, which wasn't necessarily her unpopular opinion, but it made lots of people unpopular, like, online and stuff. But Demi agrees with her. She didn't like Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom. It just takes too much time and effort for the action adventure game I want to play. There are some awesome mechanics and stuff that the game allows you to build, which is brilliant, but I just want an old school Zelda adventure. So So Demi agreeing with Frankie's point there on the Zelda games. And then we've got this one from Noflo, who's sharing their unpopular opinion. It says, Concord, this is, what do you think about this? Concord was a good game made by a well-intentioned studio. Had great graphics, audio and mechanics. The $40 price tag had good intentions because you didn't want microtransactions, which we don't like. But the internet outrage was the beginning of the end. It was targeted for lots of things like being woke and included pronouns in the corner of the character select, which absurdly got on people's nerves. So Noflo, his unpopular opinion is that Concord was a good game. We've got Demi in there agreeing with some of Frankie's takes. You can get involved in the Discord and share your thoughts as well. Shay, sounds like you were a bit on the opposite side of Frankie when it comes to Death Stranding.
Yeah, you know what's funny as well, mentioning Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. So I actually really dislike those games, but for the reasons that I really like Death Stranding, because I think it does it better. The whole open world, kind of aimless feeling. It's also just really fun to walk, like actually figuring out how to walk around. I really vibed with that. Breath of the Wild, yeah, though, get me away from that.
I mean, the Zelda chat here could take us on a bit of a rabbit hole.
I'm semi with you. I made the mistake. I bounced off Breath of the Wild after I'm like 20 hours in. In 2017, I played it, really enjoyed it, and then just moved on to other things. Then I played Tears of a Kingdom, finished that all the way through last year, and after I did Tears of a Kingdom, I went back and did Breath of the Wild. That is one of the biggest Zelda-based mistakes you can make.
Oh, wow.
Breath of the Wild, after you've played Tears of a Kingdom, is dog because you haven't got Ultra Hand, you haven't got any of the cool ability, you've got nothing. All your abilities are either I can make a round bomb or a cube-shaped bomb. That's all your abilities are. It's such a nightmare to play.
Well, look, let us know what you think of... We're dropping some hot takes early on in the pod. So let us know what you think. Press X pod on social media. Find the Discord. Get involved there. We're loving, aren't we, Ainel, having so many people commenting on our reels and stuff. It's great.
It is. The Discord. It's really nice to see that. Obviously, like old Press X's coming back, but also to see new Press X's as well coming into the fold. It's nice. It's humble. It's welcoming. Inclusive. Get in the Discord. Get on the reels. That's the place to be.
I forgot that we call listeners Press X's. I forgot about that.
Is that a recent thing? Have I just forgotten?
Yeah, I don't think. I think
Press
you've dreamt.
I don't think. Said Press X's.
We made this Mandela effect for the Press X's.
Yeah. I was calling them XE Beasts for ages.
Listen, there's a couple copyrights around that one.
Yeah. I tell you what, to what you know, people listening to the pod, people in the Discord, people commenting on social media, what do you want us to call you? Is there a catch-all term? Or is it just I don't know, like listeners? That's always one, doesn't one word that works. Let us know what you think. Comment.
XE Beasts, that's the one.
XE Beasts.
That's the one.
I'm glad this is going
to
take off.
It sounds a bit dodgy to say out in public, though. That's the only thing.
That's the thrill. That's the fun part.
Is it? It's like a secret society.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Now, we're going to chat news. Have you seen this story about the Borderlands fan who got to play the game? Have you seen this? It's a beautiful story. So earlier on this year, a man called Caleb McAlpine, he's a diehard Borderlands fan, right? And he put a long shot play out on Reddit because Caleb has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. So he's been diagnosed with between 7 and 12 months to live. And so he wasn't sure if he's going to be around to play Borderlands 4, which is coming out in 2025. So he asked if anybody could help him get a contact for the developer and see if he could play it early. And Gearbox, they flew him to Texas and he had a chance to play as much of the game as they're able to share with him so far. And I just think that is so cool for a development company to be able to do that for someone who might not be here for the game itself. Mm-hmm. And he had a brilliant time. He shared it on social media. And it just got me thinking, you know, we always talk about, well, we don't always talk about, but often there's talk about the toxic side of games. When cool stuff like this happens, I think it's important that we sort of like flag it up and say, wow, that's cool.
Yeah, and also yeah. What's nice as well is he had a really great time playing it, and I think that is the risk you take when playing like an early build of a game. Like if I was dying and it was like DC flew me out to play Kill the Justice League and it was like it was the worst thing I ever played, and then I died weeks later, would be the worst thing.
Luckily, so Keeler, but a lovely
time. Good time playing Borderlands.
He loved it.
It was a good build.
Yeah, it was a good build. You had a lovely time. Build.
And that's all that matters.
Shay, put us back on point here. It's nice to talk about something positive in the game space. Say that.
You know, video games, they have the power to change the world. They really touch people's lives in positive ways. No, but I agree with what you were saying, Steph. So much of the news is just, games, so violent, loot boxes, every single year somehow.
We'll be coming on to them in a second, don't you worry.
But, you know, stories like this come along, and especially, you know what, just being online and like having an interest in games, like sometimes I'll be like, oh my god, I can't wait to like go onto a Reddit and like share my love of a game with some people, and then it's just like slurs being thrown around. I'm like, oh, that's really dope. But then stories like that, like Caleb's, are really nice to remind us that, hey, gaming, it's pretty neat sometimes.
I'm with you, Shay. I've got lifelong friends from the original Xbox Live beta days that I've never met them, but like we've been like friends online and socially, like on online social platforms and stuff from the very first time we were playing Rainbow Six 3 on the original Xbox, like in the voice chats. We used to have so much fun, and then we're friends on Facebook after that. And then like we see each other grow, see our families like grow. People have kids, get married and things like that. And it's nice. And it's like we still have that community bond. Whenever a big multiplayer game comes out, we all jump back on it. It's really nice.
Is it now reached a stage where you've gone so long without meeting them that you now don't want to meet them?
Yeah,
because you want to keep the mystery alive. Yeah. If you met them up in person, it turns out it's just King Charles is one of them. And you're like, oh man, I had no... Wow, okay. That's...
Got a couple friends from the States. I ain't never going to see them.
big press. A thumbs up to Gearbox from the Exy Beasts. Have I done it right?
Yes.
I don't know.
Have I done it right?
That's the one. That's a winner.
Big thumbs up to Gearbox from the Exy Beasts. So excellent work there. Sadly, though, not to dwell on the negative side of games a little bit. We're talking about review bombing because the game Stalker 2 is being review bombed at the moment, where and this suggestion that there's ulterior motives. This is a game made by a Ukraine-based studio, and there's a suggestion that there's sort of Russian bots getting involved and impacting the studio that have made the game with review bombs and things of that nature. How important are reviews for you when you look to buy games, team? Because often, you know, for the developer, all of a sudden their love, their passion and all the hard work can seem, you know, very far away when online it looks as if a game is having a terrible time. Well, actually it's got a really passionate and loyal fan base, and so that must be super frustrating. Do you look at reviews, or are review bomb sort of experiences like it's so obvious that you can dodge it? I don't know if you've ever come across this shit.
Yeah, when a game is being review bombed, I take that as my opportunity to play the game. I'm like, I don't want to listen to you people and your terrible opinions, you people and the hate you have in your heart. I'm not listening to that. I have to say, when I went digging to like look into the story a little bit further, seeing that like people are allegedly being paid to leave the negative reviews on Stalker 2 on Steam, right, I would have thought if you're going to take a bribe for that, at least take a little bit more money. I think it equated to like 1.2 rubles, which is like a minuscule amount of money. I was like, come stand up, have some dignity, like take some big numbers, like Jesus, 1.2 rubles, that's nothing.
Yeah, they need to pay you the amount that the game costs so you yourself can play the game and get, you know,
to recoup some costs somehow. Yeah,
that and top up the PlayStation Premium Plus.
Something.
Top it up.
I think with Stalker, it's such a big game, and the fact it is on Game Pass as well means that they, I mean, based on the player figures alone, like they're always going to survive. It didn't really matter what the reviews were unless all the reviews were unanimously 3 out of 10. But I think for a lot of studios, you know, people are reliant on reviews. And even if I try and sort of block out the idea of them, I will always memorize, whether I like it or not, the first review I saw of a particular game. So, like, I loved Ghost of Tsushima, but I think the first review I saw of it was, like, 6 out of 10 by one of the major outlets. And that did
that
not
stays
reflect,
with you then, doesn't it?
That
it stays
did not
with
reflect,
you.
That did not reflect the average review, and it, nor did it reflect my opinion, but it did stay with me a tiny bit. And as I now will attest, us being stand-up comics, like, we, especially when you start out, you are absolutely reliant on reviews. And if a review comes out and it's a bit naff or whatever, you sort of go, this can really impact your career. So certainly for like smaller indie titles or whatever, they need that. I don't think a bad review can kill off a game, but a great review can absolutely make a game.
Oh, send it to the moon.
Yeah.
Reviews don't tend to influence me, mainly because because we've been in the industry for so long, we can see how reviews can affect games, as Glenn was saying, in a positive and a negative light. And so whenever I hear like negative reviews, it's usually just, I just remember, it's just one person's opinion. You can usually go to another outlet and it'd be something completely different. And plus, I like to diversify the type of games I play anyway. And so I like to play the games regardless of what people are saying. And then if I enjoy it, I enjoy it. Like, I'm still playing the finals like almost a year on. Like, religiously love the game, but like the reviews that came in weren't very, very good for it at all. But I'm having so much fun playing it with friends and my partner that it's probably one of the best games I've played this year. But like, I try not to let reviews influence me. I get with the review bombing, it's almost like a recent thing in times, and we've seen it be successful in terms of getting developers and publishers like attention, like in terms of like Helldivers 2 with all the stuff that happened at the beginning of the year with that. But like when it's done in such a insidious way like this.
Yeah, I think people are starting to be able to see through it, aren't they, and move past that. But it must be disheartening for the developers when you see that online and all your hard work for some people, then that can have an impact, can't it? But yeah, so that's been going on. And then it started so positively. The show was so happy and welcoming. And oh, look at this. Isn't gaming great? And now we've talked about that. And I don't want to spend too long on this because I'm bored of it. But the industry's, surely games companies have got to do better, because loot boxes are back in the news again. A BBC investigation has found that only 2 of the top 45 highest grossing mobile games on the Google Play Store actually follow the rules about saying how many loot boxes they contain in their adverts. So they're supposed to advertise that they've got in-app purchases, and the Advertising Standards Authority says it's supposed to ban games and remove them if they don't do that. But, you know, only 2 of the top 45 games are sticking to the rules properly. And this is the sort of stories that tend to lead to the negative press around games, right? But games companies aren't helping themselves, are they, Einel, if they're just like, you know, continually not doing the things that they're supposed to make it feel like a safe, inclusive space?
Yeah, I think people see the numbers, don't they? They see the numbers, they see how much money they can get, and they just sidetrack all of it. And I guess it's a lot easier to kind of implement those sort of mechanics into games nowadays as well, particularly with mobile games. I guess like Unity is probably one of the main kind of game engines that a lot of the mobile games are kind of being built on. And it's very easy to kind of implement those mechanics in terms of like synergizing them with like the various different app stores and stuff like that. There's many, many tutorials online on how to do it and how to make your money in that particular way. And so it deters a lot of people from, I guess, doing it in a, I guess, not in a wholesome way, but like in a, just, there are nicer ways of kind of monetizing your mobile games out there. And like, and my thing is, like, it puts a downer on a lot of, it puts like a bad light on mobile games, whereas I really enjoy mobile games. And I think there's plenty out there that are really good and they're monetized really well. I always shout out Sky, from the makers of Journey.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the best mobile experiences I've ever had in my life. At no point did they even try to thrust any transactions on me at all. But there's places you can go to kind of buy cosmetics for your character. And by the time I finished the game, put like 10, 15 hours into it, and there was still more for me to do, I was like, yeah, take my money. Take my money, because such a good experience that I wanted to kind of pay the amount of money that I would if I was going to play like an indie title on the PlayStation or Xbox.
Oh, I was going to ask that. I mean, do you guys ever, any of you, do you ever buy in-app purchases for games? I don't think I ever have, because and purely because it is all cosmetic stuff.
Yeah,
and I've only ever wanted to like buy my way to victory. So, like, and that's not an option. So if it's just like a customizable skin, I'm like, nah, I'm fine.
Yeah, I've just a couple of times for cosmetic purchases. You know, and I'll do the same when I get to it. I'm playing Space Marine 2 at the moment. There'll be a point where I'll want to spend a bit of cash on that to look away, you know, because I've been reading those books for a long time. When I was at the height of peak war zone, you know, lockdown time, I got into Call of Duty Esports. Actually, I don't watch it anymore, but at the time I was watching that just because I was so into the game, and I ended up buying, I think there was a London team at the pot at the time. So for some reason, I bought the skin of the London.
You're a full kit wanker.
That was me. That was me.
Call of Duty team.
I was in deep. I was on forums saying why the Welsh player, who's the best player in this game, why he isn't being picked up by the team, and how it's a travesty. There are two Welsh players that should have been playing in that team. Anyway, that's beside the point.
You know what, we should have had an intervention.
Yeah, so I reckon they had a meeting about you. They're like, you know that skin we put online? Someone's bought it.
But those skins,
a man in his 30s has bought it.
I think with that, it's cool because I knew what I was getting. I bought what I knew what
cool.
I was getting. You know, well, like, because I know I was.
It was
I know what,
bought.
It was, hold on, I need to see pictures of what this kit looks like.
I was spending cash on something that I knew I was spending cash on. Not, I wasn't spending cash on chance. Which is where I think these games sort of get themselves into a bit of trouble. And we know that microtransactions have issues in games. But look, yeah, let us know. What do you think? If you listen to this, Press X Pod, what games are doing microtransactions right? Because we talk a lot about the negative side of it, but what games are doing it, like, you know, Einel was suggesting, there's some games are doing it the right way. What games are those? Let us know. Press X Pod, TikTok, Blue Sky, Instagram, we're there. Lots of people are getting in touch about the stuff we've talked about before on our last episode. So we had this one saying, the discussion about having physical copies in the first episode made me realise they don't do PC copies barely anymore. I wondered if I'd have as many PC games as I do now if it wasn't so easy to buy things on Steam. Glenn, that must help you when you're getting 304 games a year.
Yeah, it does. And I do miss those sort of 90s PC huge cases where it looked like a dictionary. It came in like a huge box. Like I would buy fewer things physically if it did, you know, if you then had to cope with the space it takes up in your home. I do buy physical copies more, but of retro games on like eBay. Because Xbox is really good for backwards compatibility, and so it was really nice recently to buy, like, Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, which I never got round to when I was a teenager. And so those are really nice to have sort of temporarily, and then as soon as you finish it, you put it back on eBay or whatever again. But, like, it is nice. And also, the physical copies tend to be sort of a bit cheaper, especially if you then sell them secondhand afterwards.
Yeah, this message blew my mind. Marge says... on the retro show recently, there was a discussion about why zombies aren't called zombies. And my inner nerd is squealing, listen to this, because I covered this in my master's as a subtopic, and it carried on for so long that I had to cut some out of my master's. But Marge, you haven't told us why, so please come back and tell us why zombies aren't called zombies, please. We need to know. That is incredible information. And every week we told you we're going to be bringing you the latest on GTA 6. And here is our GTA 6 news jingle to tell you exactly what the latest is.
The Press X to continue GTA 6 update.
Hope you weren't looking for an update this Christmas, as there's still no GTA 6 news. Back to you.
That was the Press X to continue GTA 6 update.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Now, before we move on, we left you in a bit of a cliffhanger, didn't we, last week, asking for what was voted as the top five most stressful games of all time. Now, loads of you have been getting in touch, guessing on our social media posts about this. Love that. So thank you very much for getting involved. Matt suggested on our Instagram something we didn't think would come up. NBA 2K. Matt thinks is going to be in the top five. His reasoning being that the difficulty settings are too much of a jump. So thanks for that one, Matt. My Gaming Life on Insta suggested Returnal as the first one, Demon Souls in second, Elden Ring, Sekiro and Bloodborne. So basically all FromSoft games there. And loads of people actually agreed that the Dark Souls titles should be in there. And people in our Discord definitely going for that. Natersby being one. Demi suggested that the Mythic Raids on World of Warcraft are mega stressful. They should be in the top five. Chelsea, love this shout from Chelsea, said Lion King and Aladdin, the 1990s games. They were impossible, to be fair. So that is a great shout. Sarah said any Crash Bandicoot title. So loads of suggestions coming in. We love that. Thank you so much. But the actual answers were this. Nobody got anywhere near the top five. So, you know, next time do better. In fifth, we had Fortnite. That was voted in for fifth. Maybe when the circle's close gets a bit stressful. Four was Dark Souls. So well done, everybody that said that. Third was Call of Duty. Second was FIFA. And number one, most stressful game, according to this poll, was Mario Kart. So thanks everybody for getting involved in that one. There'll be more trivia coming up in the next few episodes, so stay tuned. But right, let's move on. So we're going to review a game for this week. Now, Shay, you're taking us through this one. Christmas is closing in, and so, you know, people are maybe looking ideas for things they want to add to their gaming wish lists, put in their stockings, etc. What should you be playing this week, Shay?
It is Blattro, and I'm going to apologise in advance because you're going to lose so many hours. I'll be so real. Here's the thing. I hate card games, and I hate roguelikes probably even more. And Blattro is a deck-building roguelike. If you say those words to me, like, my ears close up.
Yeah, and go back a few steps, Ashik, because for some people listening, they might be like, whoa.
What are those words?
Deck-building.
It's not even English.
Wowza.
Oh, God, but how do you explain a roguelike? Because it's a reference to another game that, like, people don't even really think about. Basically, you go on runs. You build a deck. You build a set of equipment through a store or whatever, and then you go on runs. That is, like, the most abstract way I can possibly
You're trying to survive as long as you can, or get to the end of a level by leveling up your character or whatever. This time with cards, sometimes in games like Hades it's with different weapons or whatever. You're trying to last as long as you can, right?
Yeah, but this time you got a deck of cards, and then you've also got, like, your jokers. It's a lot. And, like, I'm not gonna lie, the first few times I started playing, I was like, what is this? What am I doing? I hate this. It really reconfirmed, like, my hatred of card games. But there's like two main things that made it click. First of all, there is, like, one song that kind of loops throughout the game. It's just one song. But it was kind of like Cocomelon for nerds. It just kept me entranced. I was there. Yep. I was locked in.
That one song is one of the greatest video game soundtracks of all time.
It's fantastic.
It's unbelievably
good. It's so
good.
And so basically, if you know anything about poker or, like, card games in general, you sort of use poker, I guess, to kind of make your way through the runs. You've got, like, hands. I think the base is, what, four or five? And you basically need to get a certain amount of chips every single round. That's it. That's the game. But somehow, I have lost so many hours. Like, this morning...
What is it about... Because so many people have talked to me about Blattro, and I've played... I've got it on my phone, right? And full disclosure, I've been scared to play it. I played a little bit because I talked about it on the radio like earlier on in the year, soon after it came out. And then I quickly stopped myself because like, oh no, this way danger lies. Do you know what I mean? We've all been there at a game that gets its claws in you, and it's clearly got its claws into you, Shay. For people listening, what is it about a game that's got retro graphics, that's about, you know, old school playing cards with a set of rules that has been around for decades and decades, that sort of gets its hooks in you in a video game fashion? What is it about it?
For me personally, I am not good at it. That I'm just going to say that on the face of it. I am not good at this game. But there is something about when you go through your runs and you inevitably end up dying, for me, like realizing where I messed up and like what techniques I can use and like what strategies and like the plan I can go in with next time to then get better. That's the thing that keeps me going. So once you kind of die, it's like, you know, do you want to do a new run? And I'm like, yes, of course. I'm so glad you asked. And then you jump into, and it's like a very kind of seamless experience. And then because it's all, there is a sort of like random number generated system, like running in the background, you might get a really crap deck of cards or like the cards dealt to you the first time around might be really bad, but then you might get a really good hand. You might get, you know, some lucky boosters for free, which at the beginning, that comes in really clutch. And then the next thing you know, you're on the ninth ante, and then you lose. Yeah.
But it's because it's just numbers going up, isn't it? It's just, it's the thrill of seeing massive numbers going up, because when you start, I mean, I bought it in February, so when it first came out, and I finished one run, and then I deleted the game, because I was like, this will ruin my life. Like, I've completed a run, never play it again. And it's because poker hands are quite sort of low scoring, like, the first thing you'll do is you get, like, oh, I managed to win with, like, a pair of kings or whatever. But it's those little jokers you get that you acquire throughout the game that are suddenly like, oh, cards that are like four, like literally the four of clubs, four of diamonds, whatever, those are now worth like three times as much as an ace. And so it's about the bastardization of poker, really, isn't it? That you go, oh, this rule set that people have known for hundreds of years has suddenly been changed dramatically, and now you're winning by having a hand that is made up purely of cards that have got the number one on them. And that is, that suddenly makes it really weirdly exciting in a way that people can't articulate.
Break the game, I guess. It encourages you to break it, and especially with the Joker system, it's just there to just reinforce it. And when you see all the flashy numbers and it tallies up, it's like bling, 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 and you're like, yeah, keep going.
And you know it's going well when it bursts into flames and you go, oh, what have I done?
Fire.
It's great. It's so good.
I wonder whether it's really grown as well. It had a moment when it first came out. People were like, this is a good game. This is going to change your life. This is a good game. And it kind of sort of died away for a bit. I wonder, Shay, there was a bit of sort of coverage around it where people were a bit confused because of the link between it. It was seen that there was a link between this and gambling only because it was using the poker mechanics when the game hasn't really, you know, it's not an online gambling game in any sense, but it looks that way to the untrained eye, doesn't it? And I wonder whether that association, given we were just chatting about, you know, loot boxes and other issues in terms of like microtransactions in games earlier, I wonder if that's affected how popular it became, or am I overthinking it?
No, I don't think so. You kind of sound like that one friend that's too woke, but actually, no, there is something in that. Because if you just look at a screenshot of it, you're going to be like, oh, that's just like an online gambling game. And
just like, it looks a bit like solitaire on my phone.
Yeah, very much so.
The currency is dollars as well. The currency is just dollars. And also, the things that you buy with those dollars are those like little trading card packs, which is what kids used to spend too much of their money on. So it's all about addiction.
But it's, you know, there is no real money passing hands. You're not even like playing against another person. So it's not, you know, it's nothing like that. It just doesn't help that games have been tarnished with this image.
Yeah,
with this
brush. Because actually there's he's, you know, and it's a solo developer, isn't it? It's amazing work to create something as addictive in a good sense, and in a way that you want to keep playing the game.
But it's really robust and really rich and clever, and like there almost comes a point where you start to like embrace the chaos. Like one of the jokers is like I love the way that they're drawn, and that's another thing. Visually, it looks amazing. So there's like this one, I think it's kind of my favorite, where the multiplier is like completely random, and then the card is like this kind of distorted joker. So then like sometimes I'm kind of like, I'm running what I know is a really terrible hand, but then I'm looking at that distorted joker like, come on, you better have something for me. Come on. And then it doesn't, and then I lose, and then I run back into it. So
people are loving this on the pod. Let us know what you think of Balatro. A lot of people are arguing this is the game of the year. People are legitimately saying that. And even when you think at some of the games that won, like BAFTA Games of the Year, for example, I got this wrong once. I called it Zombie Survivors when it's actually Vampire Survivors. You know, sometimes you get zombies on your brain. That, you know, that just happens. Yeah, no. You know, Vampire Survivors, same sort of thing. There was also a roguelike, but this idea that it's sort of simplistic graphics, if you will, or like sort of old school retro graphics, but a gameplay that is that makes you, encourages you in a good way to want to play more. Balatro very much falling in that category, and so could go on and win some awards. The critics love it. There's a Metacritic score of 90. Shay, you're telling people to get hold of, what would you advise people then? Should they be buying this game? Should they be playing it?
I think so, yeah. I, you know, even though you're going to lose a lot of time, it is something you can pick up and put down. Like, I have this on the go, like, whilst I'm playing other games, which is nice, because I don't always have time or, like, the brain capacity to do a, you know, a 60-hour run.
Preach,
of
sister,
Dragon Age,
preach.
You know?
Preach.
Oh, yeah, this is your ministry.
Preach.
100%.
Get up on that hill. Yeah.
Yeah, no one's got time for that. No one's got time for that all the time. Even me, as a childless woman, I'm like, yeah, I just, too many.
Are you a childless cat,
you know?
Lady Shay?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, too many run clubs take up my time. So, yeah.
Okay.
Now so instead, I play Balatro.
Absolutely, and why not? And so get yourselves Balatro. There's all different types of download codes available. When we're recording now, you can get it anywhere between £6 and 18 quid. It's also on Apple Arcade if you've got that, so you can play it for your subscription fee. So go and get Balatro and let us know what you think in the Discord server and on our social media, which is Press X Podcast, TikTok, Blue Sky, Instagram. Have I forgotten anything, Ainel? I don't think I have. I think that's it.
TikTok. Oh, yeah, you said, no, you said TikTok.
Truth okay, Social. Are you on the far right?
Kick, you know.
All the cool places. Come and find us. Just to reiterate, that would be TikTok, Blue Sky, and Instagram. Right, we're finishing up this episode by talking about a feature that got our sort of production team chatting about features and games that they dislike, frankly, this one. So we're going to be talking about sneaky things. We're talking about enforced stealth levels in video games, okay? So we're not talking about games like Metal Gear Solid, where the whole concept is built around you being stealthy, or Siphon Filter, you know? It's not just Metal Gear Solid, eh?
Yeah. Any franchises from the last 15 years?
To be fair, there was no stealth in Cyberfilter.
Good point.
Running and gunning.
Good point. But he looked stealthy, didn't he? He was supposed to be stealthy. He looked stealthy, but he wasn't. Anyway.
Gabe Logan, was it? Was that his name?
That's the guy.
Oh, yeah. My. Yes.
That's the guy.
Come on, Glenn. That's why
that's
he's
a
here.
Run.
So, we mean, like, action games or RPGs where basically out of nowhere you can only progress if you have to do a level where you sneak around, basically. Man. So Star Wars Outlaws removed it entirely. For example, if you're caught, you know, you can't take out a blaster or whatever and start shooting. You have to restart from the last checkpoint. That sort of thing is what we're talking about. So some people like it because I guess it sort of mixes up, varies up the gameplay. Other people find it a bit jarring because games these days, Glenn, you're a man who plays a lot of them. You should be about what you want to do.
Yeah, I think as well, I don't mind it too much, but if it's completely unlike the rest of the game, so the Mary Jane missions in the first the 2018 Spider-Man game, if it's so unlike the rest of the game, that's fine, but don't make it the hardest bit of the game. It should, as a result, be just like a super easy bit. It should just be an absolute breeze to play that bit because you go, these aren't the mechanics you've been working with for the past 20 hours. So it's suddenly unreasonable to be like, this is the bit I'm failing most on. It's a bit that isn't even really what the game is about. I think GTA was really bad at this with enforced stealth with regards to like tailing missions.
Oh, those tailing missions are so frustrating.
Judgment and Lost Judgment, the Yakuza games as well, were really bad for this. Yeah. We have to slowly walk after someone. And because the thing is as well, once you've failed at a couple of times, you do want to go, I know where the person ends up. Do you mind if I just meet them there? I'll go a different route. Stop saying game over. I got too far away. I know they're going to be at the warehouse. So can I just trust me. Trust me on this one.
That's cheating, Glenn.
But you know what? I kind of like when a game kind of forces it in there. Just and hear me out. Let me finish. When they have it in a game and like I keep failing at it, I'm like, you know what? Fine. I will not play your game. Goodbye.
You like it so much you stop playing the game.
That's enough. I have seen everything I have to see. Now my backlog, one less game to get through. Fantastic. Thank you.
I like it in games if they set it up well. If they set it up well and then they explain the controls properly and they walk you through what's going to happen and you're immersed in it. And as Gen was saying earlier, as long as there's not any crazy fail states and it's pretty easy to do, I love it. I think what the issue happens is sometimes the fail states are so strict that it really pulls the player out of the experience, and then it just becomes a trial and error kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just to kind of brute force your way through it. And I think that's where it can really... I don't know, it can leave a bad taste, as we say. Like, it can leave a bad taste in your mouth in the game. And also, it can just, like, it almost shows you under the hood of the game or how it operates.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, they can see me if they're standing at a 45 degrees angle, but, like, if I'm slightly to the left and I'm right next to them, they can't see me. And it's like, you start to kind of game the game.
It highlights bad AI, then, in that regard.
Yeah, exactly.
What's weird is I hate it, but at the same time, I give myself enforced stealth. If I'm playing Hitman and I blow my cover, I'll reload. If I'm playing, like, Desperados or Commandos and I get an alarm, I'll reload a quick save. Yeah, and I'm like, no,
scummer.
This
is stealth.
But a stealth save scummer. It's like, no, pure stealth, or I didn't do the mission at all.
And that's self-imposed as well. Like, self-imposed. You just don't like being told what to do.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
And look, if you're listening and you're thinking, one of my favourite missions was one of these enforced stealth missions. Then get in touch with us. It could have been the Witcher 2, you know, when you're sneaking out of that dungeon, which I think it depends on whether or not it's in keeping with the vibe of the game. So, you know, would Geralt the Witcher be sneaking out of a dungeon, or would he just be taking heads as he goes? I don't know, you know? And so that's when it sort of jars with me. But, you know, there's one in Uncharted 2, isn't there, where they're going into the museum at the start. I think it's in Istanbul, right? But that feels like something that they would do, you know, because, you know, when you're treasure hunting, you've got to be a bit sneaky, you know? So I guess if it feels like it's part of the... you know, part of the fabric of the game. There's a famous Call of Duty 4 one where you're Captain Price and you're like, you go back in time and you sneak in a mission there, which obviously is very different to the rest of the game. So I think, I feel like if it's in keeping with the story and the vibe, then I kind of think it works for me. But if it takes you out of that and is like a, almost like a placeholder, that's when I've got an issue with it. But let us know what you think. Your favourite and least favourite examples of enforced stealth, press X pod, please, on social media.
What was yours, Shay?
I was just going to say, I have an example of a really bad one, which was in Life is Strange, because I just replayed the original. So bad. There's a moment where, like, you're obviously, like, you're jumping through, like, time and, like, different realities and stuff, and then there comes a moment where you're, like, running from... spoilers, I guess, for what, a 10-year-old game.
Yes.
But you're running from you're running away from the teacher, the evil teacher. And I was just like, where did this come from? I was, you know, I was taking pictures and I was listening to Alt J. Like, why am I now sneaking around like Snake? This is horrible. And because it's such a janky game, like mechanically, it made no sense and it was just very, very jarring.
You know, conversation for another time, but I've never played a Life is Strange game, and I think I'd quite like it.
I did the first one in lockdown, and it was really... It's they're really cosy. Because
I'm up for a cosy American
Midwest. Diners, that sort
of
thing.
Yes, yes, I want it.
You say that, but the subject matter is anything but cosy.
Sorry. Tons of suicide, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, lots of trauma.
Everyone's got to go.
Well, look, let us know what you think of enforced stealth missions, and we'll love to hear from you. Find us on social media, get in the Discord, all of that good stuff. All right, well, there we have it then for this episode of Press X to Continue. Like I say, keep on messaging us and sending your comments in as well. We will have another retro episode for you on Thursday. In case you don't know what I mean by that, well, all of our back catalogue of episodes have never been on the wider podcast platforms before. We are sticking some of our favourite episodes up on a Thursday, and we're going to be back with you on Tuesday for more fun. Until then, thank you very much for being with us, everyone. Say goodbye.
Bye.
See ya.
Goodbye.
Like they mean it. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn.
and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
What is dadication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together. We did a good job.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.